Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the NATCO Pharma's Q3 and FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hrishikesh Patole from Batlivala & Karani Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hello. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of B&K Securities, I welcome you all to the Q3 FY26 earnings conference call of NATCO Pharma. Hope everyone is in good health and doing well. On behalf of NATCO, today we have with us Mr. Rajeev Nannapaneni, Vice Chairman and CEO, Mr. Rajesh Chebiyam, Executive Vice President, Crop Health Sciences. I now hand over the call to Rajesh for the management's opening remarks, post which we'll open the session for Q&A. Over to you, Rajesh.
Thank you. Thank you, Hrishikesh. Good evening and welcome everyone to NATCO's conference call discussing our earnings results for the third quarter of FY26, which ended December 31st, 2025. During this call, we may be making certain forward-looking statements which are not necessarily historical facts, and anything said on this call which reflects our outlook for the future must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. We undertake no obligations to update these forward-looking statements. I'd like to state that the material of the call, except for participant questions, is the property of NATCO and cannot be recorded or rebroadcast without NATCO's expressed written permission. We'll begin with the call results highlights and followed by an interactive Q&A session. We have updated the financials and press release earlier today. These are also available on our website. NATCO recorded consolidated total revenue of 705.4 crores for the quarter ended on 31st December 2025, as against 651.1 crores as of 31st December 2024. EBITDA for the quarter was at 216.8 crores, with a margin at 30.7%. The net profit for the period on a consolidated basis was 151.3 crores. Revenue from our associated company, Adcock Ingram Holdings South Africa, for the first half of the financial year which ended December 31st, 2025, was at 2,464 crores at a profit after tax of 198 crores. For NATCO, the profit pickup for the period, which started from 10th November to 31st December 2025, at 35.75%, amounts to 29.65 crores. So after a one-time period amortization of 18.75 crores, the associated profit reflection in NATCO's financials amounts to 10.9 crores. The board of directors have declared an interim dividend of 1.5 rupees per equity share of 2 rupees each during Q3 of FY26. The segmental split has also been shared in our, actually, the press release. I will not go through the details, but we will take questions and we'll answer from there. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles.
Questions of the staff.
The first question is from the line of Gautam from Leo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. I had a question on GLP-1. Do we have any fill and finish capacity? And if so, is this for an Indian market or an emerging market segment?
A GLP-1 approval is expected sometime this month. It's pending at DCGI. Capacity right now we are outsourcing from one source.
All right. And regarding emerging markets, which geographies will be launching in, and will we have our own capacity in the future or just this one source capacity?
As of now, we don't have any capacity. So right now for our tie-up right now is for India, one source we're doing, and then we're not actively pursuing emerging markets. We're actively pursuing only regulated markets. So those, I think, the launch is of a little away.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next caller, please.
Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Lav Gupta from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Sir, so I was just looking at a statement. We have like about 2,600-700 cash on our books post the Adcock acquisition. Why don't we consider a share buyback given the current favorable valuations of our share price and reward the shareholders in that form?
Actually, cash position net is about 2,500. I just want to be more precise. Regarding buyback, at this time I'm not really thinking about it. I think my sense is that there are further acquisitions to do, and we are actively engaging, trying to do another very large transaction, and I think we have enough cash. I would like to preserve my cash for another transaction similar to size of Adcock. So I would preserve the cash for that. I wouldn't want to do a buyback at this time.
Okay. And when do we plan to announce or complete this acquisition, and what
working on a couple of transactions. Yeah, so until it's done, it's not done, right? So we're actively pursuing 2-3 targets. And we're hoping we'll able to close, I mean, close this in 2025, Adcock. So something large we want to close, at least one or two we are pursuing. So if we're lucky, two or at least one in 2026 we want to close in this calendar year for sure. All subject to clearance of diligence and clearance of whatever other things that we need to close.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Next caller, please.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Chaudhary, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Do we know what is the net cash in Adcock Ingram's books?
Exactly, I don't remember, my friend, but I think net debt is zero, I think, or some little bit of cash they have. They don't have, net debt is zero is what I recollect. Exact number I don't recollect, but yeah, it's about something like that.
Regarding this domestic semaglutide, we have two applications, for the generic Ozempic and generic Wegovy, or since we've got some SEC approval, it's for the diabetes variant, right? There's something which is also there for the weight loss?
We have for both for Ozempic and Wegovy, we have both the applications. One of the trials is not completed yet. The Ozempic one is what got completed, so for which we got the SEC committee clearance. So we're expecting the license any moment. I think that's the way things are. So our expectation that we launch the diabetes strength when the market opens up in shortly.
And so the court case that we've done is to prevent them from ever winning the patent? Or why are we spending money on, you know, stopping? There's so many other companies that also have got approval from the SEC. What's the logic behind it?
logic behind the court case you're saying? I mean, it's a very complicated question. At this time, I don't want to answer that question. There is a strategy that we had. I think for the purposes of this call, I would like to say that we're going to launch when the market opens up post-March.
Okay. So just on this aspect only, for the Wegovy thing also, we will get the approval soon, right? We're working on that. Right? Or is there some trials is pending?
Yeah, that's what we're working on. I think the clinical trial is expected to complete soon, and then we'll file for approval shortly. Yes, that's correct.
So my last question is in the export formulations, year on year, there is an uptick of around 135 odd crores this year. Is this because of the tailwind of Revlimid or in other things we have done better?
In fact, there's been literally no Revlimid this quarter. We had zero Revlimid this quarter. And these numbers are with zero Revlimid, which is a good thing. And the whatever tailwind that we got is essentially because our subs have done extremely well. Brazil and Canada has done extremely well. And also we have done very well in the Middle East. So our strategy of expanding into emerging markets has paid dividends. And you will see the benefit of that, I think, in the coming quarters. As of now, we're not consolidating for this quarter substantial amount of profit from Adcock, but I think for the coming quarters, we'll be consolidating Adcock profits as well. So we'll have a steady, strong base business. And so I think you'll see more steady revenue like we have this quarter.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's all.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Candice Pereira from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. So with regards to the Adcock Ingram acquisition, will there be an annual amortization amount or this was just a one-time amortization that we'll be taking?
This is a one-time amortization. But we will also have, this is how we're going to account for Adcock profit. So whatever Adcock profit is there, 35.75% of that will be consolidated into NATCO's books. There will be an element of amortization. I think the accountants are working on it. It will be about 10 to 14 crores per year. So essentially a thumb rule for you would be take Adcock's profit, take 35.75% of their profit and remove about 10 to 15 crores from that for amortization. I mean, any one-times happen that I can't project for you, but I think that will be the quarterly amortization. It will be split over a quarter. So I think maybe about 3 crores a quarter is what our expectation is. But I think the accountants are working on finalizing number, but roughly about that is what my expectation is. So back of a hand, I mean, if you assume that this is a steady state number and they're able to repeat the numbers, we'll be adding about 35 to 40 crores of PAT to our balance sheet every quarter from Adcock.
Okay, that is helpful. And also, is there any timeline for the Crop Health Sciences demerger in place for now?
I think we have started the process. So I think roughly we're thinking by October, November, but I don't want to say any definite timelines, but this is our, goal to do. But I mean, there's a lot of processes that we have to run, right? So so I think the process will take whatever time it will take, right? So, but our end goal is that we should be able to do it in the next 8-9 months. But again, we'll keep you updated to give you more accurate timelines, but as of now, that is the expectation. Yeah.
Yeah, and one last question is, you called up that you are looking at 2-3 targets for acquisition. So they are in any particular segments or like for domestic market or export?
We are, I think we're actively looking. I don't want to answer the question directly, but our focus has been looking at emerging markets and looking at brand business. Established brand business. I think that's what we're looking at. I think this is where we see value in our portfolio. So this is what we're looking at.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next caller, please.
Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Gautam from Leo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question again. Sir, you had mentioned that for India, we are outsourcing via OneSource. What capacity are we outsourcing from OneSource for either just fill and finish or the whole product? And what capacity would be, like, how many units per set?
It's a fill finish. So you give all the raw materials and they'll convert and give it to you. What capacity am I reserving, you're saying? We're only launching for India, right? So India, see, India is actually a very tricky market. I'm positive about the semaglutide launch, but I think it'll be extremely competitive. I think my expectation is that there are going to be a lot of generics. Each guy, you know, see, we are launching our own brand, plus also we're giving to two other people. So again, all the other guys also, I think they're launching their own brand, and there's also some out-licensing business that's happening. So it'll be like a crowded 10-15 generic market. So, and a lot of strategies involved in it. If you ask me, I think the next quarterly call, I'll give you an idea of how the uptake is and what I believe the market will entail and capacity. Because at this time, it's very early, my friend. Because there are a lot of fermentation combinations, like, you know that Manjaro is doing better than semaglutide in the Indian market, but obviously with a lower price, obviously there'll be some uptake. And so I think once we're in the market, we will have, I think for our, you know, when we do the May, the March annual audited numbers in May, I think I can shed better light. Right now I'm, even actually, you know, we need a little more time to give you a little more clarity and guidance on how things are going to play out. Yeah. Okay.
But regarding the capacity reserved with OneSource, is that shareable?
No, my friend, I can't
thank
say
you,
anything
no
this time
no
because
no
it's very difficult. I have no idea what the demand is going to be. So once we have a demand clarity and seeing how the market formation plays out, I think I'll give you more color on how I think the things will play out. Okay?
Understood. Thank you.
Right? Okay. Thank you so much. Next caller, please.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Rishikesh Patole from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, Audible. I'm audible?
Yeah, Rishikesh. Please go ahead.
Yes. Quickly, our other expenses have declined sequentially as YOY.
Okay.
We had earlier highlighted in previous calls that in the post-revenue area, we will be probably curtailing some cost and R&D, if at all. So, I mean, what's the major chunk that has gone away? And will this be like the likely a trend going forward quarterly on a quarterly basis?
I think, you know, a lot of the R&D budget in terms of allocation and all was done in the September quarter. A lot of the projects, because we knew that there'll be a you know, decline in rev limits. So a lot of the allocations were done for the next 12 months in September. So so I think that kind of a lot of the R&D for the next few months is covered already for most part. Obviously, there'll be some incidental expenditure. And I think one-time bonuses that we wanted to give, they're all done with September because we anticipated a decline in the earnings. So a lot of things, I mean, we've been waiting for this moment for almost 4 years. So we've been preparing for this new cost structure and R&D budget, yes. But we have we're still continuing our strategy of doing complex generics. I don't want to, you know, back on doing projects. So we continue to invest. I think there's enough surplus. And the guidances that we're giving on surpluses are based on after accounting for the R&D expenditure that we intend to spend.
Thank you for that. And quickly on our NC and Seal Engine pipeline update. So can you just throw on the 2-3 names that we have on the pipeline and the progress as of now?
Yeah, sure thing. I think there are five ideas we have put on the presentation. I think the most exciting one, if you ask me personally, is eGenesis. So eGenesis is doing extremely well. As you know, I mean, it's in public domain. So they have dosed one patient, they have transplanted one kidney for one particular patient. And then they had to remove it after 6 months, but another patient doing extremely well. And they're trying to extend it to multiple patients. And so I think that trial is going extremely well. We are very excited about this investment. And we believe that this if the the trial goes well, this will be a multiplier among the portfolio that we have. So I think this is probably the most exciting one of the five ideas that we had. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the update.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Gandhi from InnoQuest Advisors Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just continuing the same question in different way, that where do you see, like, in 3 to 5 years, this eGenesis potential, or the second best idea which can come across within next 3 to 5 years? All 5 are unlikely to fructify in 3 years. So if you can share some time frame within which each of them can fructify, what could be another, and some quantification if you can share over 3 to 5 years, need not be 1 year or so.
I think I think we always wanted an exposure for NCE. I think this is something that all Indian companies want to do, and I always was very keen on doing it. But what happened is our balance sheet and our bandwidth in the system is never strong. So that I always felt, okay, the next best way of participating in the NCE pipeline is by through investments. And this is probably the biggest investment we have made among the NCE ideas. This is $8 million. See, this technology is called CRISPR-Cas9 technology. What they do is they do a genetic modification of the pig, and which makes it more likely that the humans will accept the kidney. You can do for kidney, you can do for heart, you can do for liver. This is probably the most disruptive thing that's going to happen in medicine. But these are all very high-risk ideas. I just want to let the investors know that it is a high-risk idea. But if it works, it's truly disruptive. I mean, we all know people who always who have challenges with kidney and liver and who want a transplant. And if this works, practically you could, you know, use a pig kidney and transplant to humans. If you ask me, this is a idea of the decade. I mean, easily the idea of the decade. And as investors of NATCO, you're getting a see-through of one of these ideas. And we invested at very early stage at a very early modest valuation. So I'm actually very bullish about this idea. And I think if it reaches a stage where they're able to demonstrate, let's say, about 25, 30 patients, I think, you know, you have a home run. And which will play out, in my personal view, in the next 2-3 years. So essentially, you have to transplant the kidney or whatever organ you're trying to do and see how the patient does, you know, over a period of 1 year, 12 months, 1 year or 15 months or 18 months. And we've seen one patient who has done well for at least 6 months, which is probably the longest in the world. So I think the second patient is also doing very well. So I think we're in a good place. I'm actually very excited. So we'll see how things go.
And if you can share something on, like, say, they are almost like one leg death for kidney transplantation. Spain is the highest where something is going wrong. And leave aside living maybe 50%, what about rest, which, and how adoption could trigger if it's based on some analysis or some sensitivity, or what could be the factor to start the adoption?
I understand it's an exception because Spain has a very active program where, you know, there's a lot of cadaver transplant, but culturally a lot of countries don't allow it. No, a lot of countries it's very difficult to get organs. I mean, Spain is a super exception, but if you look at, even you look at India, for example, for a moment, yeah. So how many people are willing to give their kidney and liver away when somebody passes away? Practically none, right? And how big is the market for kidney and liver? It's huge, right? So, and if you get a breakthrough, I mean, the potential is enormous. And so the company has a great platform. And so I think the potential is enormous, but these ideas are all, you know, you just have to have the risk appetite and wait. And I think if something good happens, I think, you know, it'll be very exciting. Yeah. But I think my suggestion is, my feeling is the potential is large. And you just have to show the data that patients are doing well. So then I think it'll be pretty interesting.
Yeah, wish you all the best to keep cost sub 10K.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Next caller, please.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankush Malhotra, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. The recent exchange filing, there was a update regarding the approval for this ADDA Fitnet from US. So what is the significance of this approval for this molecule from the business perspective?
The litigation is still ongoing. So it's a Para 4 and it's a $60 million product. So it's not a very large product. We just announced it because we are the first generic which got approved, I think. That was significant.
Just on the timeline perspective, sir, when we can see this product launch, any tentative idea?
No, it's too preliminary at this time. The Para 4 litigation is still ongoing. I think it's very premature to talk about the launches. I think our investor presentation has a list of all the Para 4s that we have. So I think at this time, it's very difficult to judge the timelines, but we do have multiple launches over a period of time. So I think if you look at our pipeline, we have things going from starting from 2026 till 2035. So I can't name which molecule when, and some of them we have settlements and some of them we are still litigating. But I think all these launches will play out in the next 8 to 9 years. So I think that's where the excitement is. And I think some of them are, you know, sole FTFs and some of them are, you know, shared FTFs. So even if some of them come through, I think we're looking at a very, very interesting situation.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Chaudhary, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, I have a marketing suggestion on a lighter note. Now that we are going to be launching the generic Ozempic and Wegovy, and we have around 4 lakh retail shareholders plus, maybe you can also think about sending a hard copy of annual report with some discount for, you know, captive customers. It's a 150 crore idea if it fructifies. Just on an
idea. I should send an annual report, hard copy annual report. Okay.
And give the discount
to be friendly also, not Rahul.
Discount coupon for Ozempic and Wegovy because the mass market produce.
I understand.
It's 20,000 rupees.
No, and we will sell it at such a discount that you will be happy, not only for shareholders, for everyone, yeah, for the whole Raja community.
Okay, sir.
Certainly. Okay. Thanks.
Good marketing idea, Rahul. Thank you.
Call it, please.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mihir Desai from Desai Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So firstly, I wanted to ask you, like, if there is an opportunity which comes up for a large acquisition, would you be comfortable to take debt or you'd go through a route of fundraise through capital markets?
I'm not a big fan of debt, you're aware of that, but I would make the judgment closer to the time. I think right now we have enough cash, so we don't need any money from a public market. But if the acquisition is large enough, then maybe we'll look at it. Generally, if I do it also, I'll mix it up with some debt and some equity and some cash flow. I think we'll do a mix of all three. Ask me point blank right now, the answer is like, we're not going to raise any capital. But if something happens, yes, I will change my mind. We're shopping, but if something happens, yeah, certainly, I think we'll consider that.
So follow up on this, do you see any lucrative acquisitions, you know, coming up or in pipeline?
Yes, I do. I personally do. I think a lot of the opportunities are there, especially outside India, there's a lot of opportunities with very reasonable return on capital. So compared to India, I think there are better opportunities outside India. Just that you have to have the leap of faith and take that currency risk and take the, you know, the risk of being outside our geography and whatever comes with the political risk or, you know, whatever you want to call it, yeah, exchange risk, political risk and so on and so forth. But I think the returns outside India are much better than India. I think that has always been my take. And I mean, obviously, I've been against the grain in the conventional thinking that people have. I think people have been more comfortable doing acquisitions within India because it's a more certain environment and, you know, just the variables are more controllable. But having said that, I believe that going out, the return is much higher. I think that's my personal position.
Okay. Yeah. So lastly, I wanted to ask on the vision, like if you can throw some roadmap of say 5 to 10 years down the line, and is there a figure in your mind which you can give a ballpark, say 10,000 kind of crore of turnover or something of that sort?
I think, you know, so we have, what we have done is, you know, this year, I think we're more or less going to meet the guidance. I think we should do about 4,200 to 4,300 crores is what my expectation is. Going forward, I mean, obviously, we want to increase our shareholding in Adcock, but obviously, you know, subject to Bidwest willing to consider our request. So we have that in the shareholding. So that is obviously a quick way to get to your number of 10,000 crores if that were to happen. But at this time, Bidwest has not shown interest in selling their shares. So, but the agreement allows us to increase in the event they are interested in diluting their shareholding. But at this time, I want to clarify that they're not shown interest. You know, that is one possible way of getting to the number that you just said. Another is you probably have to do a very large transaction again because the way our businesses today organically can only grow so much. Incumbent share in generics is very difficult to snatch away from the incumbent because everybody has their own supply chain, everybody has their share, nobody gives up share. And if you want to disrupt and get that share, you have to do something very disruptive on pricing, which again destroys the value for everyone. So you, the only way you can achieve that scale you just said, it has to be in combination with the pipeline and an M&A. It has to be common, an M&A has to be either supplementing what you're doing in your portfolio or adding a new geography. That's the only way. And to have such a number in mind, of course we have this number in mind. I'm totally aware of it, but that's the only way. I think without M&A, you will not get there. Simple answer. Organically, you'll get you to a certain point, but you need to do M&A for sure.
Understood. And so, as the world, like, there is a buzz in the industry, you know, people are moving towards pet care and stuff. So, do you have an opportunity to explore that market or how do you look at that market, sir?
I've not looked at pet care. I'll be honest with you. We've not looked at pet care. I think our focus has been only to expand our geographical footprint. I think we've been always very US and India focused and we've not been ever present in other countries. So very deliberately, I think last 4 or 5 years, we have built a geographical footprint with our own subsidiaries in multiple countries. And so now I think, you know, we have reasonable presence in Canada and US. Now we have our own front end, Brazil, we have a very good presence. And then obviously South Africa through Adcock. So I think we're trying to build geographical expansion. I think there's more value to our portfolio than we are getting. And I think the value can be expanded by adding geographies. And one biggest market that we're not present in is Europe, especially Western Europe. So that's a lot of guys are present in that and that's a market that we're not clearly present. So there's still a lot of like scope for our portfolio in multiple geographies. So I think let me exhaust that and I think we'll probably come to a different segment. But I think the oncology portfolio has a lot of scope. So I feel that, you know, all the best oncology products for the next 10 years, non-biotech, we have it in our pipeline. And I think there are enough dossiers in the pipeline. So I feel that we are well-placed to exploit that. Yeah. Okay.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you for taking my question, sir.
Sure, thanks.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. The next question is on the line of Abdul Qadir from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So did I hear it correct that you are expecting roughly 4,300 crores of revenue this year?
I think so. Based on how things are going, I think 9 months, if I look at my numbers right now, we did 3,559 crores of revenue. So we anticipate, I think, we'll maintain, I think, the similar sort of revenue around 700 to 750. I think that's what my expectation for this quarter is. So if you add the 750 to the 3,500, so it's about, 4,300 is what our expectation is. I think that's where things are going at this time. Yeah. So, okay.
Okay, understood.
And I think we are at 1,150 crores for 9 months. So we'll end with, I think, around 1,280 to 1,300 crores is what I expect. Okay.
Understood. And so on the India front, so I think this quarter we had a decent growth in that particular segment. So what is driving the uptick in revenues in India, if you could highlight?
I think India will be primarily driven by semaglutide. I think if I understood you correctly, your voice was not so clear, but. Your question is, what will drive India revenue the next 12 months? Is that the question, if I may paraphrase that?
Yes, sir.
Abdul?
On the India, yes.
Okay. So,
yes, sir.
Yeah. So, I think from what I understood from your question, I think what's going to drive India revenue, I mean, we have our oncology pipeline that we're launching, but obviously not large ones. The biggest one will be semaglutide. I think because our business is small, our domestic business is not very large. I think it's we're doing annualized around 450, 460 crores. So I think any bump on semaglutide will more than, help us grow around 20%. So I think our internal target is that our domestic business should grow more than 20% this year because of semaglutide. And the bump is primarily coming because of semaglutide. So a lot of our expectation of domestic growth is coming from semaglutide.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Marut Saha, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, please.
My one single question is, will there be any Revlimid in this quarter, the running quarter?
I have not budgeted anything at this time because it's very difficult to judge. So I think we had very little Revlimid the last quarter, practically zero. We had some amount, but it's nothing significant. We're not budgeted a heavy amount of Revlimid this quarter because it's very tough to judge how the market is going to be. So I've not budgeted anything. And whatever guidance we've given for PAT this quarter, which is around 150 crores, it doesn't assume much from Revlimid.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhigyansh Srivastav from Arcelius Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. I just wanted to learn about the launch timelines, particularly for olaparib. Do we have any information on that?
We're awaiting tentative approval, so that is one milestone we need to achieve. The second milestone is we are still litigating the product, so we don't have any timelines at this time. So at this time, I can't answer that question. But I think we'll have clarity in the next few months. But as of now, no, I don't have any time.
Got it. Okay. That's all.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Dr. Karthik Ban from Bajaj Life. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. I would like to know how many MRs do we have on field for semaglutide in India? And what would be the strategy? How many do we actually require?
So we have a total MR strength is about 600. And for semaglutide, I think we allocated about 350 people to promote, 350 to 400 people. So we're covering endocrinologists, specialists, and then we're covering consulting physicians. So I think that should be adequate to cover. Are we covering like every doctor that is there in the group? No, probably not. I think we don't have that level of field force. But I think we'll cover all the key opinion leaders and the key stakeholders we'll be able to cover. So we should hopefully make a meaningful impact on our revenue. So based on the setup that we have.
Okay. And my second question for the ADCOC, how much CAGR can we consider for the ADCOC's revenue and the PAT?
I think as of now, I think the business has been flat. I think the historical numbers of ADCOC have been there in public domain. So the numbers have been flat. But I think the value that we're bringing for ADCOC is the pipeline. I think we have our own oncology pipeline. And we also have relationships with others. So we are, you know, and then GLP pipeline, and then we're talking about HIV. So we're trying to sort of use our relationships and our own pipeline to strengthen ADCOC's pipeline and file these products. The benefit of ADCOC in terms of growth of earnings, you'll probably see it in the next 18 to 24 months once these registrations start coming. So I think the real value will see in 2 years from now. Right now, we'll be depending on ADCOC's base business for earnings. But I think NATCO's input and the value of that input, you'll probably see 2 years from today. I think that's our expectation. And I think over a period of time, you know, you'll see value. And also a geographical expanse, right? So we're getting that, I think a lot of the, feedback that we get from our shareholders is that our revenue and, you know, our profitability is so very concentrated. And I think we have shown that in the last 3-4 years, we have done a lot of work to sort of diversify our profit base. So now we are seeing more diversified profit base and bring more stability in earnings. And in spite of not having any revenue, I think you are seeing that the company has delivered pretty reasonable earnings. And I think we're going to build from here. And we have very good launches coming up in the U.S. in the next 12 months. And also we have very good launches in Brazil also coming up in the next 12 months. And now with the warning letter lifted from our Kuttur facility, we anticipate a lot more approvals coming in and also a lot of launches going to happen. So we see that from this base, I think we should be able to compound comfortably in the next couple of years.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Brother, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up question from Abhijan Srivastav. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Similar to my question that I asked previously, do you have any idea on when the patent expiry would take place for olaparib or carfilzomib?
Well, we have a settlement in the U.S. So the settlement date is bound by confidentiality, so I can't reveal that. But I can tell you that we have exclusivity on the 60 milligram with shared exclusivity, and on one strength we have sole exclusivity. So I think that's a position that we are in. The launch date and all, I can't answer that question, but it will happen obviously in the next few years. The exact date will come back when we are closer to the market formation. And the other question was olaparib. Olaparib, there are multiple patents going into the next 7-8 years. So we're litigating all of them. It depends on either you have to win in trial or you have to get a settlement date, something in the next few years. At this time, it's very premature to sort of speak about the U.S. launch of olaparib because we don't have clarity yet. But I think over due course, I think we'll have some clarity.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
Okay then. Thank you so much. Thank you. Next caller, please.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thank you. Good evening. Can you call out the R&D spend for this quarter and the 9 months for FY26?
Just one second, yeah? And let me just have a look. Typically, our R&D spend is about 8% of sales. I think that's the rough estimation. I think it's around that. Exact number I don't have, but I have a rough percentage.
This year we had some, revenue from Revlimid this year, and that was 8%. So next year, the absolute R&D spend, you expect that should continue to grow with these trials of phase 2 going on and more complex changes in the pipeline, or you expect some moderation there?
Yeah, I think we can't spend it really like we spend it in Revlimid time, so I think there's doubt in that. I think we're looking at 2-3 strategies. One is we are looking at some generics we want to do it ourselves, and because we have our own front end. And what we're doing is for complex generics, we're looking for partnerships so that we can split the R&D expenditure between a partner and ourselves. I don't want to stop the momentum that we have, that we had in the last few years, but I would say that we will split the R&D expenditure. I think some, if we have a very interesting idea, we believe it's a strong para four, then we'll probably go to a partner and say, you know what, why don't we just share the cost so that we can reduce the risk, which has always been NATCO's original model. But now because, we have become a bigger company, I'm doing more R&D on my own books. But maybe we have to do a little more sharing. But I think the momentum and the train won't stop. I think the motivation won't stop. I think we just have to sort of, recalibrate things and, probably do a little bit of sharing. But I think the momentum won't stop. Okay?
Interesting. Oh, got it. So thank you for that.
Yes.
Couple of questions on SEMA, the US and the India filing. So I think for Ozempic, if I understand, there were 6 NCE-1 filings, and for Wegovy there were probably 3 day one filings. Now we have some strengths or all strengths of Ozempic, Wegovy, where we think we're the sole FTF. So is this as a result of a settlement? Have we got a TA within 30 months? Any clarity on that? What gives us confidence that we are a sole FTF?
I think neither do we or any of our competitors have an approval with FDA on semaglutide. Nobody has approval on semaglutide in 30 months. Certain strengths of both the products, we have sole FTF, you're right, absolutely right, and which is covering a significant part of it. Did we get approval in 30 months? The answer is no. I think we are answering FDA queries, and I think we need to answer them successfully. Do we have 180 days? I have no answer to that question. But typically for complex products, people give a little bit of leeway on the 180 days. But having said that, it's premature to talk about it. I think one product we already settled. Ozempic we already settled. I think Wegovy will not settle. I think that's where we are.
Oh, well, yes, I've got it. Yeah. Thank you. All the best. I'll join that. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Rajiv, since you mentioned there's not much of Revlimid that you've seen in Q3 and your guidance for Q4, so is it fair to assume H2 is sort of more representative of base quarter for us, recurring quarter for us going forward? I mean, in terms of before the addition of newer products?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, Nathan. Everything is base. I think this is a base business, and from here we need to grow. Yes, absolutely. Okay. And any new launches that we get will be an increment on this.
That's perfect. And secondly, you mentioned that you expect a lot of launches in the US over the next 12 months. If you can give us some color on what kind of launches you're thinking here.
We have some ANDAs that we're expecting approval in the next few months. So those are non-Para IV ANDAs and which we're marketing through our own front end. So those we're expecting in around April to June quarter we're expecting to launch. Some of these older products we're launching and we're just waiting for one, we're waiting for FDA approval and one we're waiting for, we're doing some manufacturing, you know, tweaking in terms of the equipment. That's the reason why the plan is deferred to April. And we are expecting at least one of our first two files in the U.S. Shared FTF that we're going to launch in the next few months. So that's our expectation. Which one and all we can't reveal. But yeah, one of our shared FTFs we're going to launch in the next next financial year. So benefit of that you'll see in the next financial year, which I think will also add to the base earnings.
Okay. And secondly, on the R&D, have you filed any complex generic this year so far?
We are going to file about 4 or 5 products we have filed. I think the total target is that we're going to file about 8 products. Of the ones that we didn't get any sole FTF. I can't answer that we got any sole FTFs or shared FTFs. I'll let me come back on that because we don't have clarity on that yet. The really good one that we filed, which was complex and hard to do, was probably Niraparib. So that was a good one that we filed. We were not FTF. I think another product beat us by 2 months. So Niraparib is a cancer product for which you need to do a patient bio. So I think that was a nice complex one. But yes, but we couldn't get the FTF. Somebody else got an FTF ahead of us. I think something will probably hit in the next 12 months. Yeah.
And second one on the non-US export markets, how should you broadly look at these markets? What kind of opportunities do you see in these markets, Brazil, Canada, and some of the other emerging markets?
I think you see the base earnings. I think a lot of it is coming from emerging markets. And a lot of it has come from the Middle East and Brazil, if you look at most of our export revenue. So I think Brazil has some very good launches. We have very good approvals coming this year. And I'm very bullish about our emerging markets. And add that with our ad hoc profit consolidation, I think our emerging market profit will drive the company's growth. And even U.S. also, we're going to see some very good launches. And we're very bullish about our U.S. launches as well. So I think 150, 160 is the base. And on that, I believe in 27, we'll see a very strong growth. And the guidance on the growth and all, I'll give you, I think, maybe closer in the May call once we finalize our audited numbers. But I feel very confident that we should go comfortably in the next couple of years.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The last question is on the line of Rishikesh.
Yes, last question.
From B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. So quickly, what was the sales for subsidiary sales for 3Q and 9M?
101 second, yeah. Let me just look it up. 177 crores out of the 705 crores. Subsidiary sale was 177.
And so my second question is, can you provide a brief update on your manufacturing plants, the US FDA status?
We have 4 FDA plants. So Kothur had a warning letter which got removed, so that got resolved. Mekaguda also got our inspection this year and we got clearance for that. Chennai got inspected this year and we're waiting for classification. We believe the observations are procedural in nature. We're expecting clarity, the classification in the next 30-40 days. And Vizag formulation facility, I think we'll get an inspection sometime this year. I think it's been due now. I think if I recollect, it's been about 3 years since the last inspection happened. So 2.5-3 years. I don't recollect the exact date. So I think we're expecting. So To answer your question, of the four, I think three got inspected in 2025. One has not been inspected. And out of three that got inspected, two we got clearances, and third we're anticipating clearance. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Last question, please. Yeah?
Yeah. Last follow-up question is from the line of Gaurav from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So, on your M&A, you know, you highlighted which areas you are looking for. As per your M&A framework, what kind of, you know, valuation multiples, you know, are you generally comfortable paying? Just to, you know, help us factor in the comes or size of acquisitions that may be coming. Because Adcock was, you know, relatively on the lower side of a EBITDA multiple. But going
right
forward, you know, would, you know, any, you know, sphere framework, you know, are you able to share, you know, what kind of valuation multiples you're comfortable with?
It's tough to judge. You judge a asset based on the, you know, the multiple and the growth potential. So it's very difficult to ascribe a particular multiple. You can't walk into the room and say, I want this particular multiple. And so you have to take it by the case. I mean, I can't answer your question directly. You take it by the case. Depending on the circumstance, the market and the political issues and stability issues, currency risk, I think it is priced in that manner. So you have to keep an open mind and now how are you going to finance it and then take it from there. I think that's how we have to look at it. Yeah, I with this question I complete a call today. I first of all let me thank everyone for all the good questions that everybody's asked, and that's it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you all. Thank you all.
Thank you, members of the management team, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Batliwala and Karani Securities Limited, India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.